So as you've all been aware, in the last several weeks, we've been dealing with Exodus, the book of Exodus, and I don't have a PowerPoint today. I apologize for that, so you will not see the text on the screen. But if you have a phone, iPad, tablet, whatever, I'm sure you could get it up there. Exodus 35 and 40, right at the end of the book, Exodus 35 and 40. We're going to start off by reading some select passages here this morning. And the topic today is God meets with his people. God meets with his people. So starting off at Exodus 35, verse 4. And Moses spoke to all the congregation of the children of Israel, saying, "This is the thing which the Lord commanded, saying, take from among you an offering to the Lord. This is the thing which the Lord commanded, saying, whoever is of a willing heart," sorry, in verse 5, "whoever is of a willing heart, let him bring it as an offering to the Lord, gold, silver, and bronze, blue, purple, scarlet, thread, fine linen, and goat's hair, ram skins dyed red, badger skins, and acacia wood, oil for the light, spices for the anointing oil, and for the sweet incense, onyx stones, and stones to be set in the ephod and the breastplate. All who are gifted artisans among you shall come and make all that the Lord has commanded," down to verse 20. "And all the congregation of the children of Israel departed from the presence of Moses. Then everyone came whose heart was stirred, and everyone whose spirit was willing, and they brought the Lord's offering for the work of the tabernacle of meeting, for all its service, and for the holy garments. They came, both men and women, as many as had a willing heart, and brought earrings and nose rings and rings and necklaces and all jewelry of gold, that is every man who made an offering of gold to the Lord, and every man with whom was found blue, purple, and scarlet thread, fine linen, and goat's hair, red skins of rams and badger skins, and brought them. Everyone who offered an offering of silver or bronze brought the Lord's offering, and everyone with whom was found acacia wood for any work of the service brought it. And all the women who were gifted artisans spun yarn with their hands and brought what they had spun of blue and purple and scarlet and fine linen. All the women whose hearts were stirred with wisdom spun yarn of goat's hair. The rulers brought onyx stones and the stones to be set in the ephod and in the breastplate and spices for the oil and for the light and for the anointing oil and for the sweet incense. The children of Israel brought a freewill offering to the Lord. All the men and the women whose hearts were willing to bring material for all kinds of work which the Lord, by the hand of Moses, had commanded to be done." And it says, and Moses said in verse 30, Moses said to the children of Israel, "See, the Lord has called by name Bezalel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur, and of the tribe of Judah. He has filled him with the Spirit of God, in wisdom and understanding and knowledge and in all manner of workmanship, to design artistic works, to work in gold and silver and bronze and cutting jewels for the setting and carving wood, to work all manner of artistic workmanship. And he has put in his heart the ability to teach in him and Eliab, the son of Amishak and of the tribe of Dan. He has filled him with the skill to do all the manner of work of the engraver and the designer and the tapestry maker and the blue and purple and scarlet thread and fine linen and of the weaver, those who do every work and those who design artistic works." Let's go continue on to chapter 36 and verse 2. "Then Moses called Bezalel and Aholiab and every gifted artisan in whose heart the Lord had put wisdom, everyone whose heart was stirred to come and do the work. They received from Moses all the offering which the children of Israel had brought for the work of the service of making the sanctuary. So they continued bringing to him freewill offerings every morning. Then all the craftsmen who were doing all the work of the sanctuary came, each one from the work he was doing, and they spoke to Moses, saying, 'The people bring much more than enough for the service of the work which the Lord commanded us to do.' So Moses gave a commandment, and they caused it to be proclaimed throughout the camp, saying, 'Let neither man nor woman do any more work for the offering of the sanctuary.' And the people were restrained from bringing, for the material they had was sufficient for all the work to be done. Indeed, too much. Chapter 39 and verse 32. Thus all the work of the tabernacle of the tent of meeting was finished, and the children of Israel did according to all the Lord had commanded Moses, so they did. And they brought the tabernacle to Moses, the tent and all its furnishings, its clasp, etc. Let's skip down to 42. According to all that the Lord had commanded Moses, so the children of Israel did all the work. Then Moses looked over all the work, and indeed they had done it. And the Lord had commanded just so they had done it, and Moses blessed them. And let's look over to chapter 40. Then chapter 40 is our second chapter today that we're dealing with. Look down to verse 33. And he raised up the court all around the tabernacle and the altar and hung up the screen of the court gate. So Moses finished the work. Then the cloud covered the tabernacle of meeting, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. And Moses was not able to enter the tabernacle of meeting because the cloud rested above it, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. Whenever the cloud was taken up from above the tabernacle, the children of Israel would go onward in all their journeys. But if the cloud was not taken up, they did not journey until the day that it was taken up. For the cloud of the Lord was above the tabernacle by day, and fire was over it by night in the sight of all the house of Israel throughout all their journeys. Keep a finger here, and if you can, turn over for just one verse in the New Testament, James chapter 4, verse 8. James 4, verse 8. This is a verse here that I'd like to guide my talk today with you on. You see, God is asking the people to build a place for him to come and meet them there. And so we get a sense that God is inviting them there. And here is James chapter 4, verse 8. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. These two chapters here, I'd just like to use that verse to and divide them this way. Chapter 35 of Exodus, I'd like to attach the first part of James 4, 8, draw near to God. That's Exodus 35. That concerns the people and what they were to do for God at the invitation of himself. And then chapter 40 is, and he will draw nigh to you. That's what God is going to do for you. 35, that's what the people will do. 40, that's what God will do. He will draw nigh to you if you draw nigh to him. Exodus 25, as we go back in our study here, if we've been following that at all, we see a people who were in slavery in Egypt. And they cried out to God under this power of Pharaoh, and they were released miraculously by the Lord and by Moses and through the Red Sea, but it wasn't long until they started to complain. Where is the food? You've brought us out. Have you brought us out to Egypt to let us die? It was so much better in Egypt when we sat by the flesh pots and we had our fill. And they forgot quickly how it really was back there. And as they continued on, they complained about the water, and we all get it. I mean, in the wilderness, you know, with a few million people traveling, there would be a need for water. We get that. The thing was is that they complained about it, and God was going to provide anyways, but they complained about that and forgetting how God had miraculously released them. And then last week we learned that, you know, as soon as there was a delay in Moses up in that mountain for 40 days and 40 nights, as soon as there was a delay in waiting for God and waiting for instruction, they said, well, the people said, well, we got to do something. We can't wait any longer. We got to take the gold that we have. We've plundered it from Egypt. We got to take all that. We got to make a calf. I mean, don't worry. We're going to worship God with a calf, but we're going to build a calf, and we're going to make a calf, and we're going to sing and dance around that. But God was very displeased with that, of course. Even though they were worshiping in the name of the Lord, they were doing it in the wrong way. But from this, we read that time and time again, despite what they were like, it was God's desire to live among them. Exodus 25:8 says, and let them make me a sanctuary. This is what this was at the time. It was the tabernacle, that I may dwell among them. Exodus 29:42, where I shall meet you to speak with you. The psalmist says in Psalm 113:5-6, who is like the Lord our God, who dwells on high? That is really where he lives, who humbles himself to behold the things that are in the heavens and in the earth. As we sit here, we behold the heavens and the earth, and we're humbled. Well, he's above that, and he must humble himself even to behold these things. They don't sort of affect him the same way as they do us, the stars and the heavens and all the universe. He's higher than those, but he humbles himself to behold those things nonetheless. And that's where he dwells, is on high. Solomon says, 2 Chronicles 6:18, but will God indeed dwell with man on the earth? Behold the heaven and the heavens of heavens cannot contain you. Yet we have a massive God who wants to come down. He wants to meet with these people despite what they were like. He wants them to draw near to him so that he can draw near to them. Throughout the Bible, I read progressions of God living with man in this way. First of all, it didn't take him long. He says, if you want to meet me, I want to create a way that you can meet with me. It's going to be by the altar. A sacrifice that's slain. And that's how you're going to meet with me. There has to be something that was a cost given. Then it was the tabernacle that we read of here this morning. That the tabernacle was, I don't have time really to go into that today, but what it was. But it was this big tent structure that God would choose to place himself in. We read that in chapter 40, but the cloud that was representative of his presence. Oh, yes, he's omnipresent all over, but he was going to specifically reside on top of that tabernacle so they could come and meet him. And so the tabernacle was the second thing. Then the third thing was the temple that was made. And a lot of the early temples that made are very, very much made just like the tabernacle. As you look inside them these days, remnants that kind of copy the tabernacle. Then the synagogue was made in the Jewish day. And then today we have the church where God resides down onto, and he says that in his New Testament, that as the church, as the people of God, the believers come and assemble as a church, God inhabits that by his Spirit. So as we were the church today, God comes and we draw nigh to him when we come to the church, and he will draw nigh to us. And then in the Christian heart, the New Testament says that it's the hope of glory. Christ in you. And so as we draw nigh to him in salvation and look for him for salvation through Christ, Christ comes to live within us. We draw nigh to him and he draws nigh to us. Let's look at the invitation in chapter 35. It says, take from among you an offering to the Lord. And many times in this section here, we read of the commandments of the Lord. He's commanding. Please don't think that this is grievous. Please don't think that it's a heavy ask. Please don't think that's a weighty ask, a stern ask, a violent ask, a cruel ask, an unsparing ask. Because we read in 1 John 5 that his commandments are not grievous. We read many times in 35 and 40, the Lord commanded this, the Lord commanded that. It's because he knew how best to treat them. And the tabernacle was made after a pattern that he specifically outlined for them, the materials, the design, the cubits, and all that stuff, all the size, why it was to reflect really God and what he had for them. And so it had to be done a certain way. And so the commandment was given, take from among you an offering to the Lord. And so we see that all were offered, all were invited to bring something, some gold, some goat's hair. Well, if you had some oil, that was your specialty. If you had some spices, because you were good at that. If you had some stones, materials of clothing, whatever you got that day you plundered the Egyptians, that's what you had, that's what you brought. All were invited to bring something. And they didn't compare. You brought what you had. An invitation from God. God is not looking at you to compare with someone else. He's looking at you. He's just wanting you to respond to the invitation. Draw nigh to me. All could see themselves under this umbrella of invitation. There was not one that was left out. You know, the person who grabbed the goat and just tried to shave him down and all that stuff, you know, could just bring something, you know. We read that there was gifted artisans, gifted women who could spin yarn. And they brought that. They sent it along. You see, I mean, really, the way the tabernacle was set up, they had priests there. You could only come to the door of the tabernacle and you couldn't go any further. The priest would take it from there and they would go into the next part of the tabernacle in the Holy of Holies and execute the service on your behalf in front of God. But there, can you imagine, by the way, here's this tabernacle that was centered in the midst of the people. And you had the tribes all around this tabernacle, and it moved through the wilderness. When the cloud left, it moved, and they moved with it. But it wasn't just like 100 people. It was like millions of people. The city of Ottawa has 1 million people. You imagine about 2 to 3 million people, and you're way off in the back end, and you could maybe hardly see the tabernacle, but you got your goat's hair, and you were spinning it, and you sent it along. And you knew from a distance you were represented. All have an invitation to come and draw nigh to God. Even if you weren't there, you knew that God wanted you to be a part of it. Even if the system was set up where there was a priest that executed the function of God, not like today where we're priests, if we're believers in Christ, still then he wanted you to know that whatever you offered, you were included and it was represented in that tabernacle. The quality of the giver. 35:5, they were willing. They were willing to volunteer, to present spontaneously, offer freely. 35:21, they were stirred. Their hearts were lifted for a greater purpose. Lifted from the mundane, from just existing. Lifted from existing in just taking care of their needs to looking at God. They were lifted up to that level, so to speak. 35:10, they were gifted. You know, God, I'm impressed by some people who can just do things that I have no idea about. You know, I guess I can do things that you have no idea about. I don't know. Some people can fly planes. Some people can work computers. Some people can build houses. And you're gifted that way. And it says here of God that he fills the person with that gift. And I think as we go along, we discover what we've been filled with. And God helps us by education, maybe, to discover what we've already been filled with. But this is the quality of people that came. And first of all, you know, they didn't have to have like this amazing resume. Their hearts were stirred, and they were willing to come. God had connected with them. So much so that in 36:7, hold on a minute now. I'm looking after this part. I'm looking after this part. We got to go see Moses. Why? Because the material is building up. We have too much. We have too much. There was a problem about getting too much. Hardly the case. But here, they responded so well that they brought too much. 36:7, for the material they had was sufficient for all the work to be done. Indeed, too much. So the people were restrained from bringing. Now, do you think it was always that way? You think it was always that way? I don't think it was always that way. Why? Well, we just reviewed some of those things. In the history of the children of Israel, as they went through an Exodus, they complained. They said even at one time, is the Lord among us or not? Is the Lord among us or not? Things going on around us. Is the Lord really among us or not? Would they have been willing at that point in time? I don't know. But as we go through the book of Exodus, I see other instances where people or groups of people drew near to God. And it was an amazing experience. Something that they weren't planning on. Indeed, from afar, you would see the Mount Sinai there. You would see the thunderings of lightnings. And you would say, yeah, God said, don't come to this mountain because you would, you know, die. We get that part. But there were some, nonetheless, that were invited near to God, or God came down to them. They drew near to God, and God drew near to them and gave them an amazing experience to start, I believe, to start changing their minds about God. Do we only see the surface in Mount Sinai, so to speak, of the thunderings and the lightnings and the loud trumpet and the imminent threat of death if you break through and look for God? Or do we see something deeper than that? A fellowship that you can have with God. This morning in our meeting, we talked about the majesticness of God and yet his humility. We're going to see something like that in a few moments right now. But I believe these instances where there was definitely God came close to them, this started to rub off on the people of Israel, because there was some that did go up and see God and were able to go through the Mount Sinai, et cetera, et cetera. And they were able to behold God, and amazing things happened as they drew near to God. And I kind of wonder if, okay, well, you know what? God's not that bad after all. And by the way, when we read 35, it's the second time they were invited to bring an offering to the Lord. The first time, there was no response. And in fact, I think after the first time, they made the golden calf. The second time, now, willing, stirred, gifted. We got too much, slow it down. So here, let's go to the first one, Exodus 20. If you have your Bible there, Exodus 20, verse 21. Very cognizant as we go through this of our time, but I want to go through these quickly, of these instances where God met man. It says basically in chapter 20, verse 21. Let's look at, now all the people, 18, here it is. Now all the people witnessed the thunderings and the lightning flashes, the sound of the trumpet and the mountain smoking. And when the people saw it, they trembled and stood afar off. Then they said to Moses, you speak with us and we will hear, but let not God speak with us lest we die. And Moses said to the people, do not fear, for God has come to test you, that his fear may be upon you before you, so that you may not sin. So the people stood afar off, but Moses drew near the thick darkness where God was. I thought God was light. You see the presence of God and where he is now? He's in the thick darkness. I thought God dwelled in inapproachable light. That's what it says in the New Testament. But here he is dwelling in thick darkness. Moses went into the darkness, but God was already there. And can I say this about drawing nigh to God? You might be going into some thick darkness in your life, whatever sort that may be. But I'll assure you that God is already there. And that's where he is. So we can draw nigh to God in the thick darkness. And so they would have seen this. He drew nigh to God in the thick darkness. That was his experience there. And the children would have seen that. That they stood afar off, but Moses drew near to God where God was. Communicating with God while in the darkness. Please do that. Whatever darkness you're in, God is there. And communicate with him while in the darkness. That was one experience
of them drawing near to God. Exodus 24, 9 to 11.
Exodus 24, it says this. Then Moses went up. Here is it on the mountain of God. Also Aaron, Nadab, and Abihu, and 70 of the elders of Israel. And they saw the God of Israel. Now here's the description. There was under his feet as if it were a paved work of sapphire stone. And it was like the very heavens in its clarity. But on the nobles of the children of Israel, he did not lay his hand. So they saw God, and they ate and drank.
Isn't that a marvelous setting?
They saw the God of Israel, and under his feet like a paved work of sapphire stone, trying to describe what you couldn't describe. And it was like the very heavens in its clarity. And we see the restraining hand of God in verse 11. He did not lay his hand on them. So they saw God and they ate and they drank. When you draw nigh to God, sometimes it's a place of fellowship where you can do normal things. Everyday life, when you draw near to God, 74 men went up and they saw this. They saw the God of Israel. But what happened there? It wasn't that they were consumed. They experienced the very presence of God while doing a normal thing. They ate and they drank. F.B. Meyer says this. Some eat and drink and do not behold God. Some behold God and do not eat and drink. But some behold God and eat and drink. And I would suggest you do both. And I suggest that God has created an atmosphere where you can do both. You can be totally amazed at his majesty. But then he just, you know, breaks the loaf and the wine. So they ate and drank in front of his brilliant presence. And they got that luxury as they drew nigh to this God after seeing that the mountain was just covered with so many other things. But they saw through that. And they were seeing God, the 74 man, not just Moses. 74 had seen that this was the type of God that he was. I kind of wonder if some of this was rubbing off by chapter 35. Exodus 33. Here's another one. 33:7-11. Moses took his tent and pitched outside the camp, far from the camp, and called it the tabernacle of meeting. This was a micro tabernacle, let's say. And it came to pass that everyone who sought the Lord went out to the tabernacle meeting, which was outside the camp. So it was whenever Moses went out to the tabernacle that all the people rose, and each man stood at his tent door and watched Moses till he had gone into the tabernacle. In verse 9, and it came to pass when Moses entered into the tabernacle, the pillar of cloud descended, stood at the door of the tabernacle, and the Lord talked with Moses. And all the people saw the pillar of cloud standing at the tabernacle door, and the people rose and worshipped each man in his tent door. So the Lord spoke to Moses face to face as a man speaks to his friend. As a man speaks to his friend. Is that your experience of God? God in his majesty and who he is and what you remember him to be? Don't worry, God has a side that he has to deal with things. And he's done that through his son, the Lord Jesus. But please, always his thought is to come to man and dwell among them and be that God that he would want to commune with you as friend does with friend and face to face. It says in verse 7, everyone who sought the Lord, they're drawing near. Anybody who cared to take that step afar off into Moses' tabernacle was able to see that he was a God that communicated with him face to face as a man does his friend. Intimate communion after rebellion, by the way. Chapter 32, the gold calf just happened. They prepared themselves in 33, verse 6. So the children of Israel stripped themselves of their ornaments by Mount Horeb as a sign to say, we did wrong. We did wrong to take the gold that we plundered from Egypt and make this calf. And so they were stripping themselves, preparing themselves, and then seeking the Lord by going to Moses' tabernacle and seeing that this was the God
that communicated as a friend as a friend. And then as we go to 35, they're asked to bring gold. They're asked to bring all these other things. They're using the gold for a much better purpose, aren't they, in 35, verses 32. Exodus 34:5. One last example of drawing near to God and what that tells us of God. 34:5. And the Lord descended into the cloud and stood with him there. Where is that? 34:5. Yeah, so he came, he cut two tables of stone like the first ones. He was up again on the mountain the second time, 40 days, 40 nights. This time it's okay down off the mountain. He rose up early morning, went up to Mount Sinai. The Lord commanded him in verse 4, and he took in his hand the two tablets of stone. In verse 5, the Lord descended in the cloud and stood with him there and proclaimed the name of the Lord. And in verse 9, then he said, if now I have found grace in your sight, O Lord, let my Lord, I pray, go among us, even though we are a stiff-necked people. Pardon our iniquity and our sin and take us as your inheritance. This is another example of Moses going to the Lord, and the Lord coming to him. Then Moses went to the Lord in Mount Sinai, and then the Lord descended in the cloud and stood with him there, it says in verse 5. Stood with him there. And what did he communicate? Well, Moses wanted, by far, among anything else, his presence, the Lord's presence, to go with him, or else he wouldn't take the people any further. And so, as a promise of God's presence, we get that assurity too when we dwell near God. When we draw nigh to God and he draws near to us, he will communicate to us his presence in spite of who we are, even though we are a stiff-necked people at times. Sometimes it takes quite a few manipulations to get a neck from stiff to unstiff. As I deal with people at work, I mean in a physical way. I'm a therapist. I don't mean like trying to lay the law. I'm not in control there. I'm not the boss. Okay, let's get that out there. But anyway, it's like even though there were stiff-necked people, God came down and met them. And remember, that was the second time he did that after the tablets of stone were broken the first time. These experiences, to me, communicate how God is when we get near with him. And maybe some of this was rubbing off on the people of Israel. And so what happened? We have 35 that they came in such a wonderful way. In chapter 40, God came. He came. What does it say? The cloud in verse 34 covered the temple, the tabernacle of meeting, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. The cloud rested above it, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle in verse 35. And Moses, it says, it was not able to even enter the tabernacle of meeting because the glory of the Lord was so profound. And so we have here God coming in to fulfill his promise that if we draw nigh to him, he will draw nigh to us. And I'd like to just advance this to the church this morning, just a little bit longer, and then we're over for today. But Ephesians 2:19, please. What is the glory in the church? Ephesians 2:19. If you want to just maybe flick your phones over to that or your Bibles or something like this, it says, now therefore you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and the members of the household of God, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building, being fitted together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. This is where God comes to dwell. As we draw nigh to him in this setting, he comes here to dwell. And what is the glory? Well, let's look at verse 8 of chapter 3. To me, here's Paul speaking about, he wants to preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. That's the glory. And to make all men see what the fellowship of the mystery is, which from the beginning of the ages has been hidden. This is something that's just previously hidden, but now has been revealed to us, hidden in God, who created all things through Jesus Christ, to the intent that now the manifold wisdom of God might be made known by the church. Another glory is the manifold wisdom of God. How he can take someone who is out of relationship with God, so to speak, by sin, and bring him into a new relationship through Christ. That's a glory. that we shed here in the church as witness to the principalities and powers that be, according to the eternal purpose which he accomplished in Christ Jesus, our Lord. That's the glory. In 4:13, it talks about till we. Here's what we're doing in the church. It says here that he's given gifts, right? Here's the drawing to him. We're coming to bring his gifts. Ephesians 4:12, here's what the gifts are for. For the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Till we all, here's some of the glory. Till we all come to the unity of the faith. That's glory. Unity of the faith. Unity can be dashed in a moment. But we're thankful that we have unity of the faith here. That's a glory of the knowledge of the Son of God to a perfect man or woman, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. May we have as a glory here in this church, kind of be spurned on and to be met by God, to be brought along in him to the full measure of Christ. That's a glory. That's a glory that we share. And can you imagine if we couldn't get into this building because of the glory of Christ, this type of glory that was going on? And so Colossians 1:27 for the final reading this morning. Colossians 1:27. It says, to them God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery. Here it is. Mystery is not something like, you know, the game of Clue or something like that. It's like the mystery. Something was hidden before. Now God tries to reveal it now to people. And it says, this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. We reached out to Christ. God comes into us. Him we preach, warning every man, teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. That's what we want to do in the church. That's what we want to do. That's our main focus. Everyone has a part to do that, to preach him, to teach him, to guide each other. Why? Because we want to come to that perfect person in Christ Jesus. That's the glory. That's the glory. That's the glory. And so from here on out, we see that in back in 40, Exodus 40, it says that if the cloud was not taken up, then they did not journey until the day that it was taken up. So the cloud would go and then they would say, okay, it's gone now, so we got to follow the cloud. Now, the people all around the tabernacle were following, maybe they were following the tabernacle, but it's not the tabernacle they're following. They're following the glory of the Lord. And that's what we hope to do here as well, is follow the glory of the Lord. Not on this place, let's say. We want to follow the glory of the Lord. The glory of the Lord is what we seek and what we want to follow. And that's what they tried to do. They would go onward when the cloud was taken up and they followed not the tabernacle, but the glory of God. And so draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. And I trust and pray that some of these things would change our minds about who God is, perhaps. And just desire those intimate moments. Be encouraged to bring what you have to him and draw near to God. And he will help you to experience him in all his fullness and be a part of the church of God. Shall we pray? Dear God and Father, we thank you so much, Lord, for these words. Thank you for leading us through Exodus and for seeing how you deal with your people. We know that, Lord, you've opened up this tabernacle for us to exist in this very, in the copies, there's copies of the true that are there. We exist because Christ has gone before us. He's entered in the Holy of Holies. And really, the tabernacle was just a copy of what was really going on. And it was a training sphere, let's say, to bring people to God and understand what it took. We thank you that's all met in Christ Jesus. And Lord in heaven, we see in James, we hear these words, draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. We're so thankful you are God that could have stayed afar off. But you invite us near to you, and you come near to us then. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.